Ready.
So I see some confusion with this part. Leslie, I see confusion here. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, knock and the door will be open. Why? It's not hard. And then you do seek first the king. If I start us in there, I'm going to walk you out of it. I'm not going to leave you there and be like, oh, I don't know what you're going to do. You got to follow. Because if I stop singing, then nobody's singing. It sounds like a hollow whatever. You guys did a great job. Thank you.
Sing grace, how sweet. chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing I can see the promise, I can see the future. You're the God of seasons, and I'm just in the winter. All I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience. Then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. You can see my promise, even in the winter. Cause you're the God of greatness, even in amazing. All I know of seasons is that you take your time. You could have saved us in a second. Instead you said a child. Oh, the winter's long, even richer. The harvest that brings. Like a seed you sow for the sake of us all, from Bethlehem soil grew Calvary's Sequoia.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, Ascent Church. Good morning. So we invite you to stand with us this morning. Yeah, I'm going to give you a warning. It might get a little bit loud. I heard that in heaven, everybody will be sitting around the throne of God. Holy, holy, we're going to throw the hands, and we're going to be worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
When the praise starts
know about you, but I think I want to praise this morning. Woo!
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock. I'm praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you could satisfy.
Come on, sing it with me.
Sweetness at the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you could satisfy.
Come on.
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Well,
freedom
where the spirit is,
bounty
in the wilderness, you will always satisfy.
Honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in your blood. Keep providing, I have all that I need.
Yes, yes.
You are all that I need. You keep moving, I keep praising. You keep proving, I have all that I need. You are all that I need.
Come on.
I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, you keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. Yeah. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in your blood, healing in your hands. Started blowing when you said it is done. Ooh, everything I need is enough.
There's honey in the rock.
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Amen.
Have you not heard? Have you not known that our everlasting God never sleeps nor slumbers? He is the same God. He can't change. He's eternal. Already the best. Already worthy of worship.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob.
whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me, yeah. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not fight Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Yes, oh
rock.
Yeah. On your faithfulness. Hey, oh God, my God.
Oh God,
I need you, yeah. That all of our promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We take all of your promises to the bank even now.
You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same.
You are providing. Yeah, yeah.
You are providing.
According to his riches and glory.
You are the same.
He's the
God.
Same God.
You are the same.
You moved in power.
You moved in power.
Dunamis power.
You moved in power.
Yeah.
You are the same.
You
God.
Are the same.
You are a
healer.
You are a
healer of my heart.
You are
by your stripes I've been healed.
You are the same God.
You are the same God.
You are the same God.
You are my Savior.
You are the Savior.
Yeah.
You are a Savior.
You are the same God.
You are the same God.
You are the same God.
How I need you now.
Oh, my baby. captives, then you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers, then I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty river, come and fill me again. Come and fill. Come and fill me again. One more time. Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, we're singing about our God, the God that we serve, the one who has proved himself faithful throughout the ages. Every song we sang is a testament of God's miracle-working power in people's lives. It's about his faithfulness. It's about his love towards his people. So we're going to have a time of prayer right now. We're going to sing one more worship song, and none of these worship team just do a phenomenal job. Phenomenal. It just ushers in the presence of God. And we're going to sing one more worship song. But during that song, our prayer team are going to come and line up at the front here. And if you have any need, let me tell you, the people that saw the miracles in their lives throughout the Bible were the ones who trusted God. The ones who turned to God, the ones who said, I know he can do it. It looks impossible, but I believe all things are possible through him. Those are the ones that received the miracles. And so if you need anything, if it's a whatever need it is in your life, just don't hesitate. Just come forward and someone will pray with you and believe God in faith with you. Amen. I want to pray for those that are watching online. Welcome to church online. Welcome to Ascend Church. And there's no distance in prayer. And right where you are, whatever it is you believe in God for today, if it's healing, if it's deliverance, if it's restoration in your family, if it's a child that needs to come back, whatever it is that you need, Father, I just release your power and your goodness and your healing power, Father, deliverance into the homes and the lives of people watching. Father, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that what you did back then, you'll do right now. And Father, we just agree with them right now in the name of Jesus that you meet every need, that healing begins to flow, that chains begin to break in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So as we get ready to sing, if you need prayer, don't hesitate. Just come forward.
Asking he will. is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the merciful. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness.
This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven.
They will be
filled. They will be filled. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven. Ask and ye will. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven.
We seek you first, Lord. We don't run after what the world runs after. We don't seek after what the world seeks after. We seek after you, Lord.
knock and the door will be open wide. Knock and the door will be open wide.
Ask and you will only see.
Seek and you will find.
Seek and you will find.
Knock and the door will be open.
Knock and the door will be open. Knock and the door will be
open. He's waiting.
Knock and the door will be open. Seek first the kingdom, it all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, it all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, it all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom. It all will be added. Seek first the kingdom. All will be added. All will be added. All will be filled. You will be filled. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom, this is the kingdom of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Kimbra bo siriandi la ka, do shtileyandi lamba kasa, do kiriandi lambo kirayanda la ka. For you, says the Lord, have your feet set in a kingdom that is above this earthly realm. And as long as your mind is set on the earth, says the Lord, you cannot think like a person in the kingdom. But when you turn your eyes upon me, when you turn your eyes upon my way of ruling and my way of doing things, says the Lord, then you begin to see things change in your life. Because the pattern of your life will follow the pattern of everybody else on the earth, says the Lord, unless you become kingdom-minded. And when you become kingdom-minded, you realize that you rule and you reign over circumstances. And when you rule and you reign over circumstances, nothing can stand in your way. So when you walk on this earth as my child, says the Lord, stop looking at things as if they are obstacles that you are going to have to overcome yourself. Because if you look at it that you rule and you reign, you will step over every obstacle. You will step over every stone the devil puts in your way, and you will overcome every single time. Don't ever think defeat. Don't ever think illness. Don't ever think I'm going down. Begin to look upon me, says the Lord, because I rule and I reign, and the decree in heaven is that it is finished. It is done. And if you look upon it is done, you will have no fear of the future. You will have no anxiety overcome you at night, because you know that you can rest in me, says the Lord, for it is finished. It is finished. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love being in church. How about you? Worshiping God. You open something up when you worship God. Let me tell you, you open the door. People are calling. People everywhere are like, God, where are you? Help me. He's like, you open the door. You step into my presence. You get what you need. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see you. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how good they look. To see you in church this morning. I like that it got loud, right? Got pretty loud. If you missed that first song, you missed a good one. Well, I'm so glad to see you. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're joining us today. I know we have people that watch us faithfully from all over the world, and wherever you've tuned in from, welcome. Make yourself comfortable right there. We'll just let church come right into your home, and we pray you receive everything it is that you need from the Lord today. Amen. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We're so glad to have visitors at our church, the friendliest people you've ever met, I'm telling you. And so if you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you, just want to hand you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, family. God bless you. Welcome. That's Fiona. I met her. Anyone else? Our first time. Thank you for being with us today. I don't know if somebody invited you or how you came, but I pray you get everything out of the service that it is you need today. You've been given a visitor pack, and there's a card that says guest, and we ask you just take a moment and fill that out. If it's not in the bag, it's in the seat in front of you. It's a long card that just fill your details out, and at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in, and if you can, stick around and just say hi to Pastor Steve and I after the service. We'd love to meet you, and thank you for being here. And to our wonderful members, we pass a clipboard by in the service. We ask you just check that you're here and change any details if you have any changes to phone or email, what have you. And we appreciate you doing that. It's a way for us to keep an eye on the flock, right? So there's various ways to watch us. People watch us on Facebook Live. Welcome. We're glad you're watching. People watch on Ascend Church Jupiter. And, you know, on Ascend Church Jupiter, every week I see people subscribing, people that we don't know that are subscribing to the YouTube channel. So that's a good thing for us as members to do. Subscribe to the Ascend Church channel. You've got access to all the teachings. You miss a week, it's right there. Same with Facebook. You can go back and watch the whole service. But if you can go ahead and share the Facebook book, and it reaches people. I got family members that I haven't seen in many years, may never see, because they live in all countries all over the world, but they've watched the service. You can do the same. So we appreciate our camera team. Give them a hand. Look at these guys on the media. And everybody just steps up. I'll tell you what, there's such a serving attitude in this church, which I just love. People that just willingly come in early, get up on that camera, get it, learn what they don't know, and we so appreciate it, don't we? And I want to let you know the four main purposes of our church. The first is that you would know God. The second is that you would find freedom. Third is that you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. We ready for the word?
Ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Well, we're glad about that.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Is it good to see me too? Good to see you, Jeannie. Tell your neighbors, good to see you. Tell him you're looking good. You look better than last week. That's a compliment. It's meant to be a compliment. You're getting better. You're improving. Amen. Praise God. Well, like Jill said, I'm just so glad to be in church. This is my favorite day of the week. We sang the song, Seek First the Kingdom, and all will be added. That really is the key, is to just seek first the kingdom of God. You know, you're here today because you're seeking first the kingdom. That's why you're here. And the Bible says if you'll just make that your focus, just seek first the kingdom of God, that everything else that everyone's chasing after, it'll all be added to you. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good. We thank you that you are so faithful. We thank you, Lord, that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. We thank you, Lord, that we can depend and trust in you. We can count upon you, Lord. You're always with us. You never forsake us. Thank you, Father, today for your word, that your word brings freedom. I thank you, Lord, today. I pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would fill us with hope, fill us with expectation, fill us with confidence and with faith as we walk out of here today, Lord, that we may know that you are with us and you are for us, and that we may expect to see your goodness, Lord, in our life. And Lord, I give you praise for everything that will be said and done today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are building your church. You are building a sin church. The gates of hell will not prevail and stand against us. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Bronson. The team doing a great job, just getting better every week. You're harmonizing. Your harmony is sounding so good. What a wonderful time of worship. Today I want to speak about hopeful. Hopeful. Being full of hope. Living with hope. Staying in hope. And the scripture tells us, I love this, in Romans chapter 15, in verse number 13. It says, may the God of hope, our God is called the God of hope. Do you know why? Because all hope comes from him. All hope rests in him. And he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray today that each and every one of you would abound in hope. The Living Bible says, I pray that God will help you to overflow with hope in him. And the Passion Bible says that you may radiate with hope. The word hope means to desire something accompanied with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. It's to have a desire, but also an expectation. It means to expect with confidence. It means to have a positive expectation. So when we talk about hope, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just hoping and praying. And really what they mean by that is they're wishing. But hope is more than that. It is a confident expectation that something is going to happen. And the word overflow means to have an excess, to have a super abundance, to be so completely filled with something that there's not room enough for anything else. God wants us to be so filled with hope and expectation that we don't have room enough for anything else. The word abound means to be present in great quantity. And radiate means to shine brightly or to glow, to spread out in all directions from a center. God wants us to just be radiating hope. He wants us to be overflowing with hope. He wants us to have hope in a great quantity. He wants us to be so full of hope that we don't have room for anything else. Amen? God wants you to be filled with hope. Sometimes people will tell you, don't get your hopes up. If I was you, I wouldn't get my hopes up. Don't get carried away, then you won't get disappointed. But you know what God says? God says the opposite. God says, get your hopes up and get carried away. Get your hopes up. That's where you get. Be filled with hope. Be filled with expectation that every dream, every promise, every desire that God has put down in your heart, that it will come to pass. You are so filled with that expectation that you don't have room enough for anything else. David said this, King David in Psalm 27, he said, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness. I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. What would have happened to me if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of God? And then he goes on and he said, wait and hope for and confidently expect the Lord. David said, I would have despaired if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Then he said, hope for and confidently expect the Lord. If you read the Passion Translation, it says, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be brave. Be courageous. And never lose hope. Keep on waiting because he will never disappoint you. The Bible says, never lose hope. This is what Abraham did. Abraham in the Bible, when God promised Abraham that he would have a son, that he would be the father of many nations, in the natural it was impossible because Abraham was 99 years old. His wife was unable to conceive. But this is what the scripture says about Abraham. In Romans 4 verse 18 it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. And I love it. In the New Living Translation, it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. You see, you may feel like you don't have any reason for hope, but Abraham kept on hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. The Message Bible says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. He decided not to live on the basis of what he saw that he couldn't do, but what God said that he would do. And the Passion Bible says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word. And as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. The Bible says when it was hopeless, when there was no reason for hope, that Abraham believed, he took God at his word. He believed that God could do what he couldn't do. And he kept on hoping and he kept on expecting and he kept on believing. Amen. You see, Abraham's hope was founded in God's word. And his hope came from God's word. In Romans chapter 15, in verse number 4, it says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope. Say, God's word is what gives me hope. The scriptures are what give us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. You see, God's word is what gives you hope. God's word is what fills you with expectation. The Passion Bible says the scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so we can live in hope and endure all things. God wants us to live with this hope, with this expectation, with this confidence. And we can expect God to fulfill his word. Just like Abraham expected God to fulfill his word, you too can expect God to fulfill his word. In Jeremiah 1 verse 12, it says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I'm watching over my word, God said, to perform it. In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't change his mind like humans do. Has he ever promised without doing what he said? Has he said it and will he not make it good? God's not a man that he'd lie. If he said it, he will do it. He watches over his word to perform it, to fulfill it. Do you know there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible? God has given us over 7,000 promises. And God has put promises and dreams and desires in our hearts. We all have goals that we want to accomplish. And we have situations we're believing to turn around. But so often when it's taking a long time and things are not, they don't seem to be working out, it can be easy to lose your enthusiasm. And that's when those negative thoughts begin to come to your mind. Those thoughts telling you it's never going to change. You're never going to get well. You're never going to get out of debt. That child of yours is never going to straighten up. If you're not careful, you become discouraged. and end up just settling where you are. That's what the scripture says in Galatians 6 verse 9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. You see, if you get discouraged and you give up, you can miss out on that harvest of blessing that God had. And many times we miss out on God's best because we gave up too soon. We didn't realize how close we were to our victory. Just another few days of believing. Just another few weeks of doing the right thing. Just another few months of staying in faith, and we would see that promise come to pass. Amen. Some of you right now, you are on the verge of seeing a major victory in your life. You are so close to seeing that situation turn around. The answer you've been praying about is right around the corner. You can't afford to get discouraged now. You can't afford to give up now. That's what the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35. It says, let's not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. That is telling us, if we will stay in faith, and if we will keep believing, and if we will keep hoping, and if we will keep doing the right thing, God promises there will be a reward. God promises there is a due season. In fact, one translation says, don't get discouraged. Payday is coming. Let me tell you, when you're tempted to get down and feel discouraged and things don't seem to be going your way, you got to keep on telling yourself, this may be hard, may be taking a long time, but I know my God is a faithful God, and I'm going to keep on believing. I know my payday is on the way in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. One thing that I've learned is whenever it gets difficult and it seems like the intensity's been turned up, that's a sign that you are close to your victory. You are close to your breakthrough. When those lies are bombarding your mind and you're tempted to get discouraged, you feel like throwing in the towel, that's not the time to give up. That's not the time to back down. That's the time to dig your heels in, put on a new attitude, realize you are close to your victory. Let me tell you, it's darkest right before the dawn. I know that some of you've had a lot of things come against you. And it seems like the more you pray, the worse it gets. You're doing the right thing, but the wrong thing's happening. You're treating somebody kind and respectful, but they're being discourteous back to you. Let me tell you, the easy thing is to just say, you know what, forget it. I don't have to put up with this. This marriage is never going to work. I'm never going to be able to raise this child. I don't like this job. But instead of getting discouraged, you got to have the attitude, I've come too far to stop now. I've been through too much to back down now. I know the reason the intensity's been turned up is because I'm about to give birth to my dreams. Tell your neighbor, I'm about to give birth. Tell your neighbor, don't get discouraged. You know, Jill and I, is this making a noise? Is it bothering you? Is it okay? All right. Jill and I have four children. They're all grown up now. We have eight grandchildren. But I remember when Jill was pregnant. The first month or two of her pregnancy, you know, wasn't too difficult. No big deal. She looked great. It wasn't a big deal for me, no. She looked the, I mean, you couldn't even tell really she was pregnant. But after a few months, she started gaining some weight. She had to carry around those extra pounds. Her feet began to swell. Her back began to hurt. She had morning sickness, nausea. By the ninth month, I mean, husbands, you know, you better give that woman some space. Don't mess with mama. Don't back talk her. Just do what she says and nobody will get hurt. Because it gets more and more uncomfortable. But when the water breaks and she goes into labor, then all those other challenges seem insignificant compared to the difficulty of giving birth. Because the truth is, when a woman is in labor, if she had a choice, I mean, she'd probably say, I don't want to do this anymore. Can we stop now? It's too difficult. I can't stand it. But she doesn't have a choice. The doctor, the nurse, her husband, they all keep saying, push, push, push. Before long, she pushes that baby out. And in a few minutes, she forgets all about that pain of childbirth because she's holding the promise. And let me tell you, it's really the same principle in life, because the greatest difficulty is always right before the birth. Before you see that new level of God's favor in your life, don't be surprised if things come against you. People try to discourage you. People try to talk you out of your dreams, try to convince you to just settle where you are. Some of you, right now, you don't realize it, but you're in labor. You're about to give birth to what God has put in your heart. That's why it's such a struggle. You're in that final push. Maybe at work, you're doing the right thing. You're going the extra mile, but you get passed over for that promotion. It wasn't fair. What was that? That was a labor pain. Just push on through it. Or maybe you wanted to start that new business, but your partner backed out. The financing didn't come through. What was that? Another labor pain. If you'll keep pushing, keep believing, keep hoping, before long, like a pregnant woman, you're going to push that promise out. You're going to give birth to what God has put in your heart. I know some of you, you feel like you've had such a struggle, maybe in your finances or maybe in your health or in a relationship. And you could say, Steve, this is the greatest attack I've ever faced. But instead of getting down and thinking, oh, poor old me, you know, poor old me, learn to turn it around and say, yes, this may be the greatest attack I've faced, but I know that means that I'm headed for the greatest victory that I've ever seen in my life. Because it's always darkest right before the dawn. You're about to give birth to that promise. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was a Boy Scout. I don't know if you know that, but I was in the Boy Scouts in South Africa. And one weekend, we went on this weekend march. It was all the Boy Scout brigades from all over South Africa were meeting together at this place and going to have a big camp. And so we were marching there. And it was 17 miles, the march. And I don't know, you know, I was 12, what do I know? And I thought, this is a great time to go buy a pair of new boots. So I went down to the Army-Navy store and got these. They were like new, but they were like old boots, like from the Second World War. I don't know, they never got used. And I thought these were so cool until I walked a couple of miles in them. And I had these blisters. I still got the scars to show it. I had all these blisters over my feet, man. And I was so tired, and I was in pain, and I really felt like giving up. But just as, you know, I was at that low point, we passed another troop of scouts, and they said to us, you're closer than you think. Don't worry. You're closer than you realize. And it was like new life was breathed into my lungs, man. I could feel strength coming back into my legs, energy coming into my body. I got a second wind. And from then on, I kept telling myself, I'm closer than I think. It's closer than you realize. I kept saying that to myself. Even though it was difficult, even though I was hurting, I kept saying, man, I'm almost there. I know I'm going to make it. I'm closer than I think. And sure enough, within 30 minutes, we had arrived. What am I saying to you today? Without those words of encouragement, I might have given up. Without his encouragement and his insight, what that scout said to me, I might have talked myself out of it. I might have thought I still had hours to go. But really, all I had was less than 30 minutes to go. And I believe God is saying the same thing to us today, that you are closer than you think. Tell your neighbor, you are closer than you realize. You're closer than you think. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 11. It says, keep in mind the times we're living in. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. the full effects of our salvation are closer now than when we first believed in Christ. The full effects of our salvation are closer now than when we first believed in Christ. The dark night of evil is nearly over. The day of Christ's return is almost here. So let's get rid of the works of darkness that harm us and let us do the works of light that protect us. Do you know the works of darkness harm you and the works of light protect you? It says, let us act as we should, like people living in the daytime. Have nothing to do with wild parties and don't get drunk. Don't take part in sexual sins or evil conduct. Don't fight with each other. Don't be jealous of anyone. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were your clothing. And don't think about how to satisfy sinful desires. You see, this scripture has got a, you know, various meanings because it's talking about Jesus' return. But it's also revealing to us that we must not quit because we are closer to our breakthrough. We are closer to the full effects of our salvation than what we even realize. And I don't know where you're headed or what your dreams are or how many obstacles you have to become, have to overcome. But I want you to let these words to just get down in your spirit today. I want you to receive them by faith today. I am closer than I think. You are closer than what you realize. That means it's not the time to compromise. It's not the time to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Family, get rid of the works of darkness that would harm you. Avoid sin and put on the Lord Jesus. Seek first the kingdom and all will be added to you if you'll seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. And let me tell you, now's not the time to get discouraged. You may think you're not even halfway there. You think you've got so far to go, but you don't know. You might be just around the corner. You might think it's going to be another 2 years, but if you stay in faith, who knows? It could be just two more months. You might have struggled with that addiction since you were a teenager, but you don't know how close you are to breaking that addiction in your life. God is wanting to breathe new life into your dreams. He wants to breathe new hope into your heart. Some of you, you're about to give up on a marriage, on a child, on a goal, on a dream. But God is saying today, if you'll get your second wind, if you put on a new attitude and if you'll keep pressing forward, like you're headed down the final stretch, you will see God do amazing things in your life. Amen. You may be tempted to get discouraged, but you've got to shake that off and start talking to yourself. Instead of saying things like, man, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. I'm never going to break this addiction. I'm never going to get out of this problem. I'm never going to be able to get ahead financially. No, your declaration should be, I'm closer than I think. I know that I can raise this child. I can overcome this sickness. I can make this business work. Weeping may endure for the night, but I know that joy comes in the morning. See, you got to get up every day knowing this could be the day that you get that break that you need. That you start to see your health turn around. That you get that business contract. That you meet the man or woman of your dreams. This could be the day. I love what Zechariah says in Zechariah chapter 9 in verse 11. It says, and because of my blood covenant with you, I'll release your prisoners from their hopeless cells. Come home, hope-filled prisoners, this very day, I'm declaring a double bonus. Everything you lost returned twice over. You see, it's easy to give up and get discouraged, but God wants us to be so full of hope and so full of expectancy till we just can't help believing for the best. In fact, the New King James says, you prisoners of hope. Talks about the prisoners of hope. We must be prisoners of hope. When you're a prisoner of something, it's like you're chained to it. You can't get away from it. And some people today, they are prisoners of fear. They're prisoners of worry. They're prisoners of doubt and anxiety. You've heard them say, well, nothing good happens to me. It's never going to change. It's been so long. I'm not expecting much to happen for me. They're chained to the wrong thing. You've got to break those chains and become a prisoner of hope. Are you with me? Be chained to hope and expectation. That means no matter how long it's taking, no matter how impossible it looks, our attitude is like the Elvis song. Or actually, it was B.J. Thomas. I just can't help believing. Remember that song? I just can't help believing when she looks so soft and gentle. You know that song? You don't know that song? I don't know it either. I just can't help believing. That's the attitude we should have. I just can't help believing. I just can't help. I know it's going to work out. I know I'm going to overcome. I know I'm closer than I realize. This may be taking a long time, but I know this too will pass. It may be difficult, but I know I'm close to my victory. Someone says, what is it with you, man? You think everything's going to work out. You think everyone's always going to succeed. You just tell them, I don't think so. I know so. I'm a prisoner of hope. I can't get away from it. I just can't make myself get negative. I just can't make myself start complaining. I've got this hope. It's feeding my faith. I'm expecting to see the goodness of God. Amen. They may say, well, I don't know why. I've seen your medical report. Doesn't look good for you. You tell them, yeah, but I got another report. And it says in Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore your health and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Well, I've seen your child. I don't think they'll ever do what's right. I got another report in Joshua 24:15, and it says, for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Well, I know you lost your job. I'm sure you're worried how you're going to make it. I'm not worried. My God takes care of me. He says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And you may not see any of this in the natural. It may not look like any of this is going to come to pass. But that's okay. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We live by believing and not by seeing. You don't have to see it before you believe it. It's just the opposite. If we will believe it, then we will see it. We walk by faith. See, you need to take those dreams, those promises God's put in your heart. And every day you need to declare that they're coming to pass. Father, I want to thank you that my payday is coming. You said no good thing would you withhold from those who walk uprightly. And I believe, Lord, even right now, you're arranging things in my favor. I thank you, Father. You're leading. You're directing my footsteps. Let me ask you today, what are you a prisoner of? Are you a prisoner of fear? Are you a prisoner of anxiety? A prisoner of self-pity? A prisoner of negativity? Break those chains and become a prisoner of hope today. That means you expect God's favor. You believe he's working in your life even right now. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, you will have what your faith expects. What are you expecting God to do in your life? David said in Psalm 31:24, be brave, be strong, don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. I'm expecting God to turn this around. I'm expecting God to provide this need for me. I'm expecting God. The New King James says, be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. To hope means to expect with confidence. And to expect means to look forward to the occurrence of something or to consider certain. That's what it means to be hopeful. Amen. I read about this experiment they did with rats. The researchers, they wanted to see how their attitude affected their will to live. So they put this rat in a large tub of water, and with the sides were so high he couldn't get out, and they put the tub in a totally dark room, totally pitch black. And they timed how long the rat kept on swimming before he gave up. He lasted a little over 3 minutes, and then he gave up. Then they put another rat in the same tub. But this time, they allowed a ray of light to shine into the room. That rat swam for 36 hours, 700 times more than the rat that had no light. Why was that? Because the rat that had no light had no hope. When he looked in his future, he didn't see anything. There wasn't any reason worth living for. And that's what happens to us when we don't live expecting God's favor, knowing that we can overcome our obstacles, believing God is in control of our life. And then we lose our enthusiasm. That's why it's so important, especially in times of difficulty. You've got to keep reminding yourself that the Creator of the universe is with you. He is in you. He is for you. He's directing your steps. And even though this may be difficult, what you're facing right now, I know it's just a matter of time before it turns around. I know my payday is coming. Amen? Amen. You see, some of us, we're about to give up on a dream. We think it's been too long. It's never going to change. It's never going to work out. We don't see how it can happen. But you got to get your fire back, and you got to fan that flame, because that dream, it's still alive. And even though it's taken a long time, let me tell you, God has still got a way to bring it to pass. He's still got a way to bring it to pass. I watched this documentary called Don't Stop Believing, Every Man's Journey. And it's the story of Arnel Pineda. Arnel Pineda grew up in the Philippines in poverty. His mother instilled a love for singing in him when he, you know, at a very early age. And his parents entered him into many singing contests while he was growing up. But his mother died when he was 13 years old. And his family were very poor, and they were struggling financially. He ended up having to live with relatives, and he ended up having to quit school and ventured out on his own. And he ended up living on the street, sleeping in public parks, crashing funerals, singing for his supper. When he was 15 years old, he became the lead singer of a local group. They used to sing at pizza parlors. And he won a singing contest. And he went to the finals in Hong Kong. But he didn't qualify due to a technicality in it. It seemed like his dream, you know, was never going to work out. After a long relationship failed, he struggled with drug addiction and with alcohol addiction for many years. And as a result, he developed health problems. It almost destroyed his voice. In fact, the doctors told him he'd never sing again. But he refused to accept that. And 6 months later, he got his voice back, and he started singing again. He was on the verge of giving up on his dream because it looked like it wasn't going anywhere until in 2007, he got an email that changed everything. It was from Neil Schoon of the group Journey. And someone had posted a video of Arnel on YouTube singing a Journey song called Don't Stop Believing. And the group Journey had been looking for a singer to replace their frontman Steve Perry. And Journey loved Arnel. They asked him to audition. He thought it was a hoax. He thought someone was messing with him. They flew him over to the United States, and they hired him. Today, Arnel Pineda tours the world as the lead singer for Journey. We saw him in concert at West Palm Beach. What am I saying? I'm telling you, God has got all kinds of ways to bring your dreams to pass. He could cause a video on YouTube to be seen by the right person at the right time. Just one person that can change things, can just turn things around. God is the one who is in complete control, family. And I'm asking you today to be a prisoner of hope, to get up every day expecting God's favor. And when you have those negative thoughts and it looks impossible and you feel like getting discouraged, keep on telling yourself, I'm closer than I think. I know right now the creator of the universe, he's lining things up for me in my favor, the right people, the right breaks, the right opportunities. Amen. You may say, but Pastor Steve, you know, I've been through a lot of tough times. Listen, you're exactly right. You've been through them. Don't stay there. Put on a new attitude. Remember, disappointment is for a season. It's just temporary. But God's favor is for a lifetime. Disappointments, tough times, they come and go. But God's favor stays with you forever. That's what it says in Psalm 30, verse 5. His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. You see, weeping lasts through the night. Tough times come and tough times go. They're just temporary, but God's favor doesn't come and go. God's favor is with us for our lifetime. And you know, often when we think about favor, we think about something good happening. We got a promotion. Praise God for favor. We met someone special. Oh, that's the favor of God. The medical report turned around. We know that's God's favor. But when we face difficulties, things are not going our way, we're still taking the medical treatment, or our finances haven't turned around yet, the promotion didn't come through, it doesn't seem like we have favor because we have these obstacles. But having favor doesn't mean that you don't face challenges, because the favor of God is what is keeping those challenges from defeating you. The favor of God is what makes you undefeatable. You see, when you're in a difficult time, you may not see it, but God's favor is what is pushing back the forces of darkness in your life. It is God's favor that is what is keeping that sickness from taking your life. It is the favor of God that protected you in that accident that you had. If you didn't have favor, you wouldn't still be here now. The enemy would have taken you out. That's why David said in Psalm 41, David said, by this I know that you favor me, because my enemy doesn't triumph over me. The reason I know that I have God's favor is no matter what comes against me, it cannot defeat me. When you walk in the favor of God and you honor him with your life, let me tell you, you cannot be defeated. You might suffer temporary setbacks and disappointments and unfair situations, but if you will keep on moving forward, if you will stay in faith, if you will have that expectation, let me tell you, it won't be permanent. It'll just be temporary. So many of the people in the Bible that we refer to as examples of favor, they experience favor in the trouble. We think about Esther as an example of favor. Because, you know, because of God's favor, the king chose her to be his queen. And then when evil Haman plotted to kill all the Jewish people, she went to the king, and God gave her favor with the king, and she saved her people. She had favor in the trouble. That's what brought her out of it. Or we think about Joseph as an example of someone who experienced God's favor. But Joseph faced a lot of hardship. He faced a lot of trouble. His brothers sold him as a slave. He was falsely accused of rape. He spent 13 years in prison. But Joseph had favor in the trouble. It was the favor of God that brought him out of it. Because no matter where he went, in the jail, he had favor. He was put in charge of the jail. And then when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he was made prime minister over all of Egypt. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, Jacob's sons became jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him as a slave in Egypt. But God's favor and God's blessing rested upon Joseph. And in time, God rescued him from all his oppression and granted him extraordinary favor before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh appointed him as overseer over the nation, even of his own palace. Say, I have God's favor. And because of God's favor, I cannot be defeated. Weeping may last for a night. Joy is coming in the morning. I'll close by saying, I read the story about a man, an executive. He put up this picture in his office, this painting. It was a painting of a large rowboat that had washed up on the beach, and the two oars were resting gently in the sand. You could see the ocean in the distance, about 30 feet away. The boat was too heavy to drag, and it was just sitting there, stuck in the sand. It had washed up during a high tide, and now it was stranded. And the picture wasn't really beautiful or inspiring. In fact, it was a little depressing. Here was this boat was created to live on the water, dance on the top of the ocean, was sitting there lifeless, no energy, stuck in the sand. But at the bottom of the picture, the painting, there was a small caption. And if you didn't look real careful, you would have missed it. And the caption said, the tide always comes back. The tide always comes back. And what is the message? The message is when the tide comes back, that seemingly lifeless, helpless boat will get a new beginning. And it'll come back to life. And it'll be back upon that water. And someone who saw the picture, they said, why'd you put that painting up in your office? It's a bit depressing. And the man told how he went through a great disappointment, and he didn't think that he would ever be happy again in his life. And he saw the painting at an antique store, and he bought it for just a few dollars. Nobody else really wanted it. It was too depressing. But he said, every time I look at it, I said to myself, the tide's coming back. The tide's coming back. What was he doing? He's speaking faith into his future. He's saying, I'm closer than I think. Things are changing in my favor. And let me tell you, you may be here kind of like that man. You feel stuck. You feel stranded. Things don't seem to be going your way. You don't have the enthusiasm, the energy you used to have. But you need to hear these words today. I'm telling you, the tide is coming back. God is breathing new life into your dreams. You're going to feel the wind of His Spirit lifting you to where you begin to sail once again. Not just endure life, not just barely get by, no, but dance on the top of the waves, living the abundant life that God created you to live. Amen. You need to keep telling yourself every day, my tide's coming back. I'm closer than what I've realized. I'm closer to my breakthrough. It may be difficult, but let me tell you the good news. That difficulty means you are close to your victory. Don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on that marriage. Don't give up on living a healthy life. It may be difficult, but remember there's a reward when you stay in faith. God promises your payday. It's on the way. Amen. If you will be a prisoner of hope, if you will stay filled with hope, get up every day expecting God's favor in your life, let me tell you, you're going to see God do amazing things. You're going to overcome that obstacle. You're going to defeat every enemy. I believe every dream, every promise God has put in your heart, I declare it is coming to pass in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Do you receive it today? Come on, give God some thanks and give God some praise if you believe this today. Say, I'm filled with hope. Tell your neighbor, I am filled with hope. I'm overflowing in hope. Say, tell them, I've got such expectation. I'm expecting to see God do such great things in my life. I'm expecting God to turn this situation around for me. I'm expecting God to meet every need in my life. I'm expecting God to open doors up for me. I'm expecting God to fulfill dreams for me. I'm expecting God to fulfill every promise He ever made. To fulfill His word in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You today that You are the God of hope. And I pray today, Lord, that every person in here would be filled with hope expectation and faith today that they would go out of here knowing that if you are for us, Lord, then what could ever stand against us? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? God is on my side. The creator of heaven and earth is for me. Who can be against me, Lord? Thank you today for filling our hearts with hope, expectation, confidence, for strengthening us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. While you have your head bowed, thank you, Bronson, your eyes closed. I just want to pray also, if there's anyone here this morning, if you are not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and God today, listen, I want to ask you an important question, and that is, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, if you died today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can know that all is right, that all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed in your life, that it's forgiven, it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and the Lord. And I want to make sure when I die, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. If that is you, I'm going to ask you quickly, while we have eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, won't you just lift your hand up high? Just lift your hand up. Raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Amen. All right, Wolf. Bless you, my brother. Do you see any others, Tom? All righty. Praise the Lord. Look up at me for a moment, everybody. How many of you know that in 2 weeks' time is the most important event in the history of the world? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's Easter. It's resurrection. It's the resurrection. In 2 weeks' time, on April the 15th, we are having a Good Friday service, 7 p.m. on April 15th. That's Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, April 17th, we will be having our Easter service, resurrection service. Friday, of course, is when we really remember the suffering that Jesus went through. He gave his life. He went to that cross. He took our sin. He took our punishment. And then, of course, on Sunday, we remember Jesus being raised from the dead. The tomb couldn't hold him. This is the most important weekend in the Christian calendar. In fact, it's the most important event in the history of humanity, in the history of the world. The Bible says when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was greater than even the creation of the world. It was such an amazing event, Jesus' resurrection. And I want to encourage you to that Easter weekend to do your best. Come to both services. I'm going to preach two different sermons. Friday and Sunday are two different services and two different sermons. And I've felt for a while now, you know, when we were in South Africa, Good Friday was always one of our biggest services of the entire year. We would pack the church out on Good Friday. And we never did Good Friday service here for all these years because it wasn't something that they did in America. It wasn't a public holiday like it is over there. But I just felt the Lord stirring me for a while and that we need to do a Good Friday service on Good Friday. So we're going to have Good Friday. I want to encourage you to invite somebody for Easter weekend. Remember, our purpose as a church is to help people to know God, find freedom, and discover their purpose and make a difference. Well, listen, that's all about bringing people into the kingdom of God. The only way you can know God is through Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, for Easter to please be thinking about who you're going to bring on Easter weekend. I would love to see it be our biggest and our biggest attendance that we've ever had. I would love to see lots of people receiving Jesus Christ into their life and their life being changed. How about you? Can you think of anybody that you know who needs Jesus in their life? I want to encourage you to invite them. You may have invited them before. Invite them again to come to this Easter service. Amen.
Amen. Good message.
Thank you.
Good message. Let me tell you. That's one guy who's chained to hope. We've had some discouragement in the week, and then your kids go through stuff, and then you feel for them. And I tell you what, every time we just turn it around and just begin, that hope just stirs back up, and faith stirs back up. And I hear Pastor Steve get on the phone and just start speaking the word and speaking encouragement, and your whole attitude changes. Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. Really appreciate people that are our members that are so faithful to tithe and to give into our church, because that's the way this church is supported. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give online. There's various ways to give. If you're here, you can use the envelope, or you can use any of these different ways to give just to make it convenient. It's all secure. So thank you for doing that. I always like to read a scripture when we receive the offering, because we do what we do in response to the word of God. Amen. But I heard Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church. He has a huge church, and he has a real understanding on the area, a real revelation on this area of finances and tithing. And I heard him give this testimony, and it resonated with me so much, and I just wanted to tell you, it's real short. He said, you know, he's been in the ministry for 40 years, and he said, you know, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And he said, you know, in 40 years of ministry, something, when you keep hearing something over and over and over again, you go like, yeah, now I get it. And he said that this is the things he's heard. Two testimonies that he hears. The first testimony is from people who tithe, people who give God the first tenth of what they have. And he said this is a consistent testimony that he hears over and over again. Since I began to tithe, I've been blessed. Anybody else? It resonated with me. He says, this is the first testimony. Since I began to tithe, I've been blessed. Now, that doesn't mean that difficulties don't come, that obstacles and problems don't come, but at the end of the day, since I began to tithe, I've been blessed. And then he said this, there's a second testimony that he hears over and over again, is from people who don't tithe. And the consistent thing that he hears is, I can't afford to tithe. And he said, you know what, I want you to hear my heart, and I want you to hear where I'm coming from, but until you start to tithe, you'll never afford to tithe. Because tithing is what breaks the curse and rebukes the devourer. That's the truth of it. And so if you don't tithe, you start to get ahead and something breaks. And until you start to tithe, you're never going to overcome those obstacles. Amen. And he said this. He said, it's like salvation. He says, you might say, well, you know, I'm going to get my life all cleaned up, straightened out, and then I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. He's like, no, you got it the wrong way around. You give your heart to the Lord, and he'll straighten your life out. It's the same with tithing. Just trust him. Just begin to do it. Don't ever be in that second category and say, I can't afford to. Just say, I'm going to honor the Lord. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get ready and give. And we appreciate you giving. Thank you. Those that are watching online, go ahead and give right now. Father, I thank you for the testimony of your word, that your word is true, that as Pastor Steve just read it to us, every promise that you have made us is going to be fulfilled. So we thank you that you said that when we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that God's house may be blessed, that you open the windows of heaven. I thank you that the windows of heaven are open over each and every tither and giver in this church in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So go ahead and receive the offering. I got two quick announcements and Pastor Steve will close us out. Just want to remind you that we have we've got a children's church meeting, a team meeting on Tuesday night. And, you know, I'm blown away by the people in this church. Just like I said, people want to serve. And we're a multi-generational church. We can't be so short-sighted as to just do what suits me. I'm 57 years old for a few more days. And I can't just do church. I have to think of the other generation. So we have children and we have youth, and we're having a team meeting on Tuesday night. I've asked, some people have signed up to come and be new teachers. It's once a month. We give you every bit of training and all the information you need. I'm calling on you. Just offer your services. You can sign up in the lobby. Come join us on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We'll have a short meeting, and you'll hear all about it. Second of all, our mission for this month is on April the 25th, the I Love My City. We're going to St. George's Center. It's a Monday at 12 o'clock in the day. You may not be able to make it, but there's three different ways you can help us. So we're going to feed the homeless. There's between 150 to 200 people that come for meals. I was telling my grandson that he couldn't believe it, that there were so many people that were homeless. Like, really moved in me, and we should be moved by that. And so there's different ways you can help. Go sign up at the table. Demony will be out front. One way is you can help with the cooking. Second way is you can help with serving on the day, and you can provide the water, the dessert, whatever it is that we need. So go ahead and be a part of that today. Thanks, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I want to ask Abel and Michelle to come up here real quick, if you don't mind. Abel and Michelle, we're excited that we're starting up Ascend Youth Ministry on Sunday, May the 1st. Do we have that, guys? The youth graphic, do we have that? We used it last week. Same one from last week. Guy sitting on the bench. Well, I'm just so thrilled that Abel and Michelle have really stepped up to lead the youth ministry, and I love the fact that we have, you know, a girl and a guy, because I just think it's good to have a man that the young men can talk to, and to have a lady that the young girls can talk to. So I want to encourage the parents to, you know, the scripture talks about training your children in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. And I want to really encourage the parents. You know, sometimes I see parents that go to all this trouble to educate their children or take them to sports, but they don't put in the same effort to bring them to church. And can I tell you something right now? My children, none of my kids are where they are because of education. I'm not opposed to education, but you can go to the best universities in the whole world and not serve God. So that's what counts to me. That's what matters to me. And the reason why our children, all four of them, are serving the Lord is because we trained them. We took them to church. We took them to church when they didn't want to go. Oh, Pastor Steve, my teenager doesn't want to come. Who runs your house? You or your teenager? We never even gave him an option. There was no option. You coming to church. And not only that, you're going to serve at church in a ministry. That was it. End of story. And I want to encourage you parents, man, to bring your kids to come to the youth service, to encourage them, to support them. Because I'm telling you right now, I really believe this will make a huge difference in their lives. So I want you to just say a few words, Michelle and Abel. Tell us what we can expect.
Yeah.
Is it not working? Let's have a... The light's on, but nothing's happening. Is Chester back there?
I can use this one.
Okay.
That's cool. Hey, guys. So on Sunday, May 1st, 5 p.m., we'll be launching it. And just as Pastor Steve was sharing, this is going to not only require the attendance of the youth, but also support from the parents, too.
Right.
And we want to be behind this because this is really the next generation. And not only do we want them to be walking in purity and holiness and being representing Christ to their parents and to other people, but we want to see the move of God through this next generation. And that's going to be coming from you guys helping them get here. Most of them can't drive. But this verse here in 1 Timothy says, "Don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." And when I was reading that in Matthew 10 or 18:10, it talks, Jesus said the same thing. He said, the little ones, he said, beware, do not despise or do not look down upon these little ones, because the angels are in their presence and look upon the Father. So I want to be on the good side of encouraging these young people to serve the Lord and to find their identity, because once they do that, they're going to change the next generation. They're the ones that are coming up. So I just want to encourage you guys to get, whoever welcomes these little ones welcomes Jesus. So we want to welcome them. We want to receive them. We want to make sure that they feel encouraged and loved, because it's really going to change the world through them. So you want to share something?
That's right.
Yeah, just to talk to the teenagers in the room too, like, we want you guys to feel like you'll have a place where you belong no matter what, where you learn more about who you are, not what the world is telling you, not even in the schools, but I'm a teacher. I teach high school, so I know what you guys are being told, right. What messages. I'm also to empower you to walk differently than your peers and to influence them to walk in the same direction as you. And like, we really want to make sure that you feel like you belong, so you're going to have input, you're going to get a voice here. We're not just going to tell you how things are, we're going to invite you into the conversation too. So yeah, just kind of adding on.
It's going to be great. We had a meeting this week, Abel and Michelle and I, and it's going to be great. Thank you for doing this, and we want to encourage all the teenagers to bring a friend, And I asked, we were talking to Scott, where did he go? Oh, come on. We were talking to Scott now. Pastor Scott Arnold, this one, he's been involved in youth ministry for over 30 years. You going the long way around? You okay? Pastor Scott Arnold's been involved in youth ministry for over 30 years, and we so appreciate his assistance and advice in this. And you were talking to Pastor Jill anyway, and something that the Lord put on your heart, we're going to have to use that one. And I wanted to ask you to just take a few minutes and share what you had said to Pastor Jill.
I just want to say, I talked to Pastor Jill. I want to say a few things. First of all, I want to say, what you get here on Sunday mornings comes from a man who spends time with God. This man right here, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Mm,
praise God.
Every once in a while, I call him and bother him. But I try to get off the phone real quick, because I know he's... And another thing is, he's so good, but don't think for one second it's not because he's got a good wife. They're supporting him, giving him the
That's
time
right.
to get with God.
Absolutely.
She's probably telling him to get back into the room and get back with God, right? You know, but she's awesome. And I love how I just basically showed up here. I was on sabbatical with the church I was at. I was a pastor, and I'm not there anymore. And the Lord just led me to come here, because I knew Jill, because I went to the gym, and she was there always witnessing and talking about the Lord. We would talk about God and everything else we would come up with. And she would always say encouraging words. And I was blessed to come to this church in December. And the first sermon that I heard while I was in this time of my life on a sabbatical was, his message was, don't look back. And it was like, boom, the Holy Spirit just hit me, man. I mean, I went home, and for 2 weeks, I listened to that sermon maybe 200 times.
Wow.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, just kept hitting it over and over and over and over again. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Then the next week was focused forward, right?
Look ahead.
Look ahead. All right, man. Like, thank you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden, during this time, I met these two people. And Michelle is a wonderful teacher. Loves the Lord. And she kind of intimidates me. I'm in their small group. She talks about AR-15s and shooting guns and all that stuff. But I feel safe here today, Pastor, just by her being here. And it's so cool. I go to a Wednesday night study. Abel opens up his condo and lets us come in. We have food. And what I've learned is that they want to get the message and what they want to share, but they want us to understand how to be in the presence of God. We have that time of worship and praising God. And Abel, you're a great representation of what this church is all about as a young man.
Right.
And what you're doing.
Absolutely. Okay?
I just want to say a couple things that God's laid in my heart, too, to share, and that is, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to.
That's right.
So that's what we're up against,
right? That's right.
That's what we're up against. If we don't teach them.
That's right.
If it's not you, then who? If it's not now, then when?
That's right.
God is just like making it really clear on that. Children are great imitators. So we need to give them something to imitate.
That's right.
We need to give them something to think about, something to prepare themselves to go into this world. And we're going to have that here at Ascend Church. That is the heart and the passion and vision of this church. I told Jill about 3 weeks ago, when I first came here, I started asking about the youth group. Because I was in youth ministry for so long, it's always been a passion of mine. I run a nonprofit team. I work with 5 high schools trying to share the gospel at Gardens, Dwyer, Jupiter, Cardinal, Newman, Benjamin. And I'm not in church ministry right now, but I'm in full-time ministry, believe me. Mm. All day I'm going to a different school trying to share the good news of the gospel.
Praise God. That's great.
And so I want to be a support any way I can. I was blessed to be on the National Youth Leadership Team of denomination. We ran conventions and stuff like that. We'd take 100 kids to a convention, and I was on the team that put the conventions together. So we brought in Chris Tomlin. We brought all these top speakers, and it was always great. And every 2 years, I would take, 100 kids, and we'd get on the plane and go to Dallas, Texas, or go to Anaheim, California. So it's in my blood, okay? Because I became a Christian at age 18. Running wild, running crazy, my youth pastor and his wife said, you know what? It was on Miami Beach, Pastor. A man getting saved from Ohio on Miami Beach, Fountain Blue Hotel. Can you believe that? That's God, right? But the youth pastor said, you know what, Scott? We can't find you. We don't know where you're at. You're not going to any conferences. I thought talking to pretty ladies from Rush on the beach were witnessing for Jesus at age 18 years of age. But so next thing you know, they told me I had to sit with them, and I heard a guy named Mike Warnke speak. Remember that name?
Mm-hmm.
And a Sandy Patty sing, like, "We Shall Behold Him." Next thing I know, I'm up front just giving my life to Jesus. And I want you to know, it started as a young age. It's 18 years old, senior year in high school, that I went with the youth group. There were people that were from that youth group that were being trained by their youth leaders to reach people like me. And here I am to be able to be here today because that church had that vision to go out to the highways and byways and meet and reach people for the Lord. Yes. And that's what Ascend is about to do. It's about to take off. And we have brothers and sisters here that are ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Amen. And I don't know about you, but we need to celebrate that right now.
Yes.
Here
yes.
I am, Lord, send me.
Yes.
We got Abel and Michelle. Okay, and we're going to get excited about it. I love the vision you have for this church and what's going to be happening with this youth ministry. It's not going to be how many that come in. It's how many it's going to be sending. We're going to send out in the name of the Lord, Pastor
right.
Steve. We want to send out some Steve Berries. I hear your testimony when you're in the youth group. So we want to send out some people to understand. And if we're not teaching them now that we have to be on the front lines, then who else is going to be on the front lines?
Right.
If this church is not on the front lines, who is?
Right.
Are you trusting the rest of the kingdom of God and the churches to be on the front lines? I hope you believe that's happening. But you can't speak for everybody else. You got to speak for where you're at right now. This is your home. This is your church congregation. You have to say in children's ministry, youth ministry, and every ministry we have to do with excellence for the Lord.
Right.
And give him 100%. With everything you do, because it's not about budget, it's not about music, it's about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's about doing the work of God and doing anointed ministry in the Lord.
Right.
And that's what this church, these leaders want for these kids. And we need to pray for Michelle and pray for Abel, because they are saying, "Here I am, standing up." We want to bless them.
Absolutely.
I brought out my Cash App today, and I saw that up there, Pastor Jill. So I believe it. I believe we should raise money. We should bless them. Anyway, these people are just working in the world, you know, trying to do what they do. A teacher at Palm Beach Gardens High School. I can't imagine what you experience from time to time, Michelle. You're on the front lines. And here she is saying, I want to work with the youth group and help serve. How are we not going to pull out our wallets and our phone and give $300 right then? And make, let's build a youth ministry budget right away, right, Pastor Steve? You okay with that?
Absolutely.
I don't want to overstep anything. I can get ahead of myself a little bit. But, you know, I just would love to see this be such a thriving youth ministry. It takes a big vision. If you have a nice car and a nice engine, you want everything to be running perfectly for that engine. Every part has to do its part. I got a car in the shop right now. I took Uber here today to be with you guys. And I want you to know, because it meant a lot to me to be here, to be able to share the vision. And we've talked about it on Wednesday nights, and they know, they kind of lean on me some, ask me a couple questions. And I say, yeah, eat chips and eat pizza, you'll have a great youth ministry. And that's not what I'm talking about. You got to teach the things of the Lord. And, you know, and one thing I shared is that in youth ministry, we always thought about theological rocks, what a kid learns from 6th through 8th grade, what they're going to learn through 9th through 12th grade, or all the way through. We want to have a foundation set in place, and they're going to talk about that. They're going to plan that out. When a kid graduates, a student graduates from, a SEN church, they're going to know, what they believe in the Lord. They're going to know their foundation will be firm when they go to college or go into the military or the workplace, whatever, but they're going to get that foundation here through the youth ministry and the student ministry with Abel and Michelle. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Steve, giving me the opportunity to say a few words. I just want to thank God that he led me here during this time. And any way I can be a blessing to this church when I can pop in here from time to time, you've already offered for my nonprofit Teen Sports Ministries, the kids, to do some breakouts. You've been very generous with that. Yes. And I am probably going to take you up on that, to be honest with you. And we'll figure that out. But, you know, I'll bring my daughter here from time to time, too, you know, because she's 11 years old. I'm a single dad. And so I just, you know, I've got one now getting ready to come up through sixth grade. So you might see me around doing that. So if you need me to pour Pepsi or something, I'm all down. I can do that. Okay? All right. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Ascend Church. You're wonderful people.
Now, John, you'd said to us that that you felt like you wanted to give $300 to the youth ministry. And you'd asked me, could you say a few words? And I'd said, absolutely, because we want to encourage you, if you feel the Lord speaking to your heart, to give toward the youth ministry, because, of course, there's things you want to do. There's costs involved in having youth ministry. And so that's really, Scott wanted to share, to encourage and inspire you to give and invest in the young people in this church,
Steve,
and in their future.
Right here, right now, it says pay. I would have been the first one to give the Sin Church student ministry.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Praise the Lord. And, you know, praise God. Thank you so much. Let's do it. Let's pray for Michelle and Abel. Lord, we thank you for Abel and we thank you for Michelle. We thank you, Lord, that you've raised them up and your hand is upon them. We thank you, Lord, that you use them to minister and inspire the young people in this church, Lord. Thank you for your anointing upon Abel and upon Michelle, Lord, that you enable them, you equip them, you guide them, you instruct them, you speak to them. Thank you, Lord, for raising up young people in this church, Father, who will go out the next generation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that so much. We love you, man. This Thursday, we have prayer this Thursday. I'm having a meeting right after service with our media team. I'm going to ask the media team, just hang out for a few minutes, please. If you'd like to become a part of and volunteer on the media team, you're welcome to join the meeting. I know of at least 4 new people who are going to be joining that meeting. So we want to thank everyone who served today. We want to thank all of our volunteers. We want to thank all of our servant leaders who served in children's ministry and media ministry and the ushers and the worship team and everyone who served. We appreciate you, don't we? We couldn't do this without you, Lord. We thank you that as we go home today, we thank you, Lord, that your angels encamp about us and protect us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, that we can always be full of hope and expectation, Lord. We know that if you are for us, then nothing can stand against us. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for everything you're doing through this church and through our life. We know that as we seek first your kingdom, everything else will be added in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. We love you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. We'll meet with the media team. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time. One, two, one, two. Calling media. Media volunteers. Come on. Ryan, no, that's not right. You bought it?
Yeah.
You just got that?
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
A couple of days ago.
Wow. Man.
I got all these poles with it, too.
Fantastic. Where are you keeping it at?
My buddy's place for 100 months.
Fantastic, man. You ever ridden a boat, driven a boat before?
He's
going to teach you?
Yeah.
He's going to give you a captain's class?
Yeah.
That's great, man. Praise the Lord. All right. We got Miguel. Timmy. All right. Just for a few minutes. Maybe hang around. Do you mind? Exactly. Okay. Y'all may need your help for that. All right. Is Natalie coming? Oh, she's busy. Okay. All right. So we got Miguel. Michelle. Ashley's away today. Mark and Nicholas. Joey. And Leo. What happened with the haze today? Wasn't working? Do you usually check that before we start service? Did you check it today?
Yes.
You did, and it was working? And then it stopped. Oh, man. All right, let's see. Marco, is Marco here? He didn't come today. And Cameron was here today? No? Okay. And we got some new folks here today. Richard. There, stand up, Richard. And Brian, stand up, Brian. Now, Brian's not really new because he used to be on media team when we were back on Center Street, but I've managed to convince him to come back. Then Wendy, stand up, Wendy. William, will you stand up for us, William? And Joshua, well, he's not new, but all right, that's great. So we have. Let's see, we don't. William, Ryan. Yes. Well, first thing I want to say, I don't want to keep you long, but first thing I want to say is I want to say thank you for serving on the media team. Because we couldn't do church without you. You know that. We could, but it wouldn't be near as effective. So I thank you, first of all, for serving. And then secondly, I want to welcome the new people on the team here, William and Wendy and Richard and Jordan, that are new to us. Now, one of the things we want to talk to you about is that we are going to be scheduling more effectively than what we've done it before. We're going to be using an app that is called Planning Center. And we want to ask you to please download the app on your phone. because we've been using this for years on the worship team, but we haven't been using it in media, and we want to start. So what it'll do is we'll be able to schedule everybody in advance. Then you will get an email letting you know you're serving this week. You'll receive an email. It's very important that you open that email. If you don't open the email, we're not sure whether you saw it. We're not sure whether you received it. So you've got to open the email. Show everybody the app, Monique. Planning Center. Planning Center. What does it say? Planning Center and Services. Planning Center Services. Right. So what we're trying to do is what we want to avoid is trying to schedule people every week. We want to do it a month or two in advance. So here's what we're going to do. Miguel is going to send you a text to everyone, and we're going to ask you to give us the dates that you can't be here, like block out dates. If you know there's dates you can't be here, If you can tell us in advance, we won't schedule you for that day. We're trying to get to a point where everybody only serves one time a month. But you understand, Miguel serves every single week. I can't get him out of there, and I'm very glad about it. So we may need to have some of you serve twice a month until we get to where we have enough people who are fully trained to do once a month. But my goal is to get us to a place where you serve in media one time per month. Now, what are you showing them? Okay. So now, in media, there's seven different positions, if we want to use that word. Oh, sorry. There's seven different positions that we have. Okay? We have, first of all, pro presenter, which is the computer that runs the screen. Then we have, some of you have done that. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is what we want to do is we want to train you so that everybody, we want to train you so that everybody on the media team can do every position. And that may take a little while. But so we have Pro Presenter. How many people already have worked on Pro Presenter, this computer? Well, hold up your hand. Hold up your hand for me. Let's keep it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's 6, and with you is 7. So we want to train everybody to do the Pro Presenter, which runs the screen. And you know, without that screen, that screen makes it a lot easier for us to do church. Worship, my scriptures, announcements, the whole thing. The second position is what we call teleprompter, and that's the computer that runs this television where I use my notes and the singers have their lyrics of the songs. We use that, and that's very important. Then the third position is the lights, the light board that runs all of the lights in here. And then the fourth position is what we call the switcher. And the switcher goes between camera 1, 2, and 3. So the switcher is the person who really controls what is being seen on all our different platforms, Facebook, YouTube, website, and our app. The person on the switcher determines what is going to be seen because you're switching from camera 1 to camera 2 to camera 3. Then we have the camera. How many people can work on the camera right now? 3, 4, 5. Wow. You've done this before, Jordan? So we've got 6 people already that can do camera. That's awesome. So that's the 7. Am I leaving anything out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, then we have the sound engineer, which is Chester, which he does that every week. That's number 6. And then we have the person who controls the live stream, which you've been doing right now. So really, ideally, if we have Miguel and we have Chester, we need 5 people other than them to run media. So now we've got around at least 15, which means that we should have enough where you're only serving once every 3 weeks. If we can get it to 20 people, then you're only serving one time per month. Right. So now, I want to ask you again, I'm going to emphasize, when you get an email or you get a text, please respond. You can't imagine how many people don't respond. But if we send out a group text, or we're having a meeting after Sunday on church, a media meeting, then you would respond either, I'll see you there, or I'm sorry, I'm out of town, like Ashley was. But please respond to that. If you get an email telling you that you're scheduled for this week, please open it. If you can't, now you shouldn't receive that email if you can't be there, because you would have already told us the dates that you can't be there. We're not going to schedule you on dates that you're not going to be there. We've just got to know the dates. So this week, Miguel is going to send, is going to text each person, and he's going to ask you for the dates that you can't serve. Or you can even do it here. Okay. We're going to start out with April, May. So we want to schedule April, May. So if there's any dates in April, May that you can't be, you know you can't be, let us know and we won't put you on the schedule. That's, so we want to start getting the scheduling this week. So then you'll get an email and when you open it'll say, you have been requested. You've been requested to serve on the media team this Sunday, and you're going to be doing the pro presenter, and all you do is accept, then we get notified you're going to be here. Right? The other thing, do you want to add something to that?
No, I was going to ask if I could just, there's that list that he's holding. All I want you to do is write your name and your email, because then I can double check what we already have for those who haven't received anything, and then I'll resend everything today, and then you'll start just getting them from the gap.
Now, also, I want to ask you. So let's say that you've given us your dates when you can't be there, and we've scheduled you. And so you get an email, and something happens. Something unexpected comes up, and you can't be here. We are asking, please, we need 48 hours notice. Please don't call or text on Sunday morning and say, sorry, I can't be there. If you can give us 48 hours, number one. Number two, as you're getting to know the people on your team, if you can try and get someone to fill in for you, that would help. That would take a lot of pressure off of Miguel. If you can say, listen, so in 48 hours, I was scheduled to serve Miguel. I'm so sorry, I can't be there. Something came up. But Mark's going to stand in for me. You with me? Can you? So in other words, when you get the email that tells you that you're serving, you will also see all the other people who are serving with you, won't you? You don't? Yes. See, I like that because when...
I'm going to send you all screenshots of everything, so when you go to look at it on your own, you'll be like,
so when you... So I should have had this on the screen. So when you get the email, and you accept, you will be able to see, it'll show you the service layout. So you'll know what songs we're doing. You'll know who's leading the song, which is important for the camera guys because you know today you would have known that Monique and Bronson were starting out with Mike Get Loud. Then you will know that Leslie and Bronson were doing a song now. So you'll know what's coming up, okay? Also, I want to ask you, you will notice that our worship team, this is 9:10, by the way. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, it's 8:55 set up.
That's not right. It's not 8:55.
It's supposed to be 8:15. It'll change.
That's not correct. Mm-hmm. It says 9:10 worship prep. Where's rehearsal?
It's 8:15 is when we're supposed to start. Right.
Okay. So the worship team, they get here at 8:15. Here's the other thing I want to ask you. If we can get here early. I'm not saying 8:15. But if the media team could be here by 9:15, that gives you time for us all to get ready, to be, you know, to make sure the camera's ready, everything's ready to go, have a word of prayer. You can't really rush in 5 minutes before 10 and be effective on the media team. You really, to be here early is really, really important, especially in media. Now, children's church teachers, they get here early. Worship team gets here early. Ushers get here early. We really need the media team the day you're serving. If you could be here at 9:15, that would be awesome. That would be great, right?
Because I run through all of it and make sure all of it is running. But if you're there, like there's one less thing that I will have to run through it. You could check through your own station. But I'll still take a look at it to make sure that
so if you, it's a lot for one person, by himself, to have to do the cameras and the haze and the lights and the computers. If you had everyone here early, everyone could be helping you. There's no pressure. We get together, we have a word of prayer before the service, and you know that's the way to do it. You saying to schedule them to serve on the same day. I think that's a great idea. Well,
we could always arrange it. It's just to try to have it for 2 months out. Yeah. If it doesn't work for you because you have to, then we could move.
Right.
And we're not going to have
right.
A team. This is pretty much, it's all going to be a whole team. We're just going to serve at different times.
That's
right.
It. So the really important thing as we go today is that you download the app. I believe you have to create a password.
Yes, but I want, before you leave, this is the last minute, if you could please just write your name and an email, and that way I can double, triple check and make sure I have everybody.
So write down on there, please, your name, your email, and your telephone number, just to be safe. Absolutely. You got an email address? You do? Wow, okay. Timmy, yes.
I have an email address, but my email address is
no.
You'll have to get another one. Yes, we are going to need people on Good Friday. Absolutely. Good Friday's a full-on service. So now as we leave, remember this. None of this scheduling works if you don't work with us. If you don't accept the emails, this is just going to go nowhere. You have to accept the email when you get it, so that's where then we know, okay, we can, they're scheduled for Sunday. And this is going to just save so much time for us anyway. Basically the same thing, I think. Does it? So hold, so are you saying that they get an email and an update? Okay. William. You see, what happens, William, is this camera, which is we call the crowd shot camera, and camera two, which we call the wide shot camera, they don't move. They stay the same. But camera one, which is the tight shot, that one you've got to follow me because otherwise I go out of camera. Now, to answer your question, in the future, we're going to have 4, 5, 6 cameras. We will have more camera operators. But at the moment, we really only need to have someone on camera one because camera two, you don't really have to. The way we've got it, it just stays fixed. It just stays in the same spot. But camera one, you've got to have someone there. And that person got to be on the ball, man. And the other thing I would really encourage, don't get me started now, but the other thing I would really encourage is when we get to church and when we start serving, put your phone away. Forget about everything else. You can't be serving in media and looking at your phone. You're going to get distracted. You've got to focus on what you're doing and look at the phone when we get out of church. I don't look at my phone until I get out of church. Whoever texted me, it can wait till I get out. Other than check into Facebook, and if I'm using it to read scriptures, but I'm saying I'm not on there. I don't want to be distracted. So, thank you so much for serving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this team. We thank you for each one, Lord. We thank you for their willingness to just serve. Jesus, you gave us the example. You came to the earth not to be served, but to serve and to give your life. And your word says, Lord, that we should have the same attitude that Jesus had. I thank you, Lord, for this team of servants. I thank you that as they seek your kingdom first, that everything else will be added to them. And I thank you that we have unity in this team, that we love and care for one another. And I thank you, Lord, for just helping us to improve our skills and giving us wisdom and guidance that we can just be the best and just have the most excellence that is possible in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. You're going to text tomorrow, right? Excellent. And that what we want to try and do, Miguel, is week by week try and train everybody on every of the stations. Well done.
Check, check.